really kind of sad when you look at the people's faces and he said one word and they're all going, huh? As you have been praying and you're continuing to pray for the church here in terms of your pastor, I think you've been seeking God's will on that whole thing. And I was reminded, as Dave talked about, you know, the idea of not having the consensus, and of Pastor John and Melody and his wife and their family. We need to understand this principle from the Word of God, not only for the church here, but also for the church, for John and for Melody. Paul, in Romans chapter 8, as I was thinking about this, in Romans chapter 8, he's talking about the victory that we have in Christ and how in our lives we trust and depend upon Him for our every station in life and the decisions that we make. And Paul says, and in the same way, the Spirit helps our weaknesses. For we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. So it's the Spirit who we believe is interceding in behalf of the situation. He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He intercedes for the saints, here's the key, according to the will of God, not only for Grace Golden Point Church, but also for John and Melody. He is interceding for them according to the will of God. And here's the promise. We know that God causes what? All things to work together for good to those who are love God and to those who are called according to His purpose. So He is working together for good, not only for Golden Point, but He's also working together for the good for John and Melody. And so I would ask you to pray, continue to pray for the church, but also to pray for John and Melody, that God would help them to understand why is this a part of their will, what's going on in their lives, and to remember to pray for them, that He would intercede for them as well, that God has something for them. He's got a bigger plan, and to be able to see it that way and to rejoice in that. So we know that God is doing His work, and we're excited about that. I do not know, did not get a chance to talk with you, but the little girl that you've got today who is sitting with you, what is her name? She was right over here. She was raising her hand.
Nikita.
What's her name?
Nikita.
I was really excited. I don't know if you could see her or not, but did you see when we were singing a couple of those praise songs? What was she doing? She was holding her hand. She was going like this. She learned that. Someplace she learned that. She was taught that. And, you know, it's interesting that we are to be teaching our children. And somebody taught that little girl, and that really excited me, because we don't know what the family dynamics are. I don't know anything about the family. But someplace she learned that. And I thought that was really exciting. That was really something that kind of warmed my heart when I saw that. And I thought that was really exciting. And I was reminded that, this is a sidetrack here, I was reminded, you shall love the Lord your God in Deuteronomy with all your heart, soul, and mind and your might. And these words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. And here's the key. You shall teach them diligently to your sons and talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall teach them. Somebody taught that little girl something about the Lord, about praising God. And that's an impact that I think is really kind of cool for her life. And so just remember that as we come into our text this morning. Turn with me, if you would, to Ephesians. We are going to be getting into some interesting sessions the next few weeks concerning some areas in our lives that we all are involved in. And I think that today I want to talk about a necessary foundation. Ephesians chapter 5, we've seen in chapter verse 18, it says, do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. Always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. to God, even the Father. And here's the key. And be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. Father, we pray that you would open up our hearts and our minds today to your word. And as we begin this series in terms of our relationships, whether they be the family, whether they be in our marriage, whether they be with the people that we work with, that you would help us to understand these principles and the foundational truth that we see in this verse today. Open up our hearts. May you, Holy Spirit, speak to us today that we might get a grasp of what you are speaking to us in Jesus' name. Amen. A basic understanding in construction, if you are a construction person or if you've done any building, a basic understanding in construction is that you must have what? A very good, solid foundation. If you do not, then the entire integrity of the rest of the structures, whatever they might be, is going to be compromised. Whether it's a building, whether it's a road, whether it's a bridge, whatever it might be. If you do not have a good, solid foundation, the entire integrity of that building, road, bridge, whatever, will be compromised at some place down the road. There will be cracks in the walls. There will be plaster moving. There will be girders that don't quite line up anymore. There will be twists in the structure of the building. But the integrity of that structure will be compromised. So we have to have a good, solid foundation is the principle. And as we look at this text this morning, in the Greek languages, if you look at those verses I just read to you from 18 to 21, when you look at them, all of that whole one long sentence is actually one long sentence. And it has one main idea, that we as believers are to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We're to be allowing the Holy Spirit of God to work in us. And we've seen that it produces singing and making melody. It produces thanksgiving. It keeps us from doing the things that we should not be doing. But it's that last part that we see here that we're looking at as a transition verse. And we look at this. It has at the very end, verse 21, it's speaking about mutual submission. Mutual submission. That's the final result of the Holy Spirit's filling. So verse 21 is a very key verse. Be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. As we look at this, it's a transition of what Paul is going to be talking about in extensive discussion concerning relationships that we're going to see in verses, the verse 22 all the way through chapter 6, verse 9. There are relationships there. And the general principle is one of mutual submission. Be subject to one another. That's the key. That's what he's talking about. Be subject to one another. It's a foundation. It's the very foundation of the principles of what? Of authority and of submission as they relate to all these areas that we're going to look at. Whether it be husband and wife. Whether it be children. Whether it be parents, whether it be masters and slaves, and we'll look at that in our modern context as well. As we will see in the coming weeks, this is a foundational truth. This is the foundation. Be subject to one another. So oftentimes we pass this up and we just go into the idea of wives and parents. And it's really the key that opens up that transition. It's a very powerful verse. Because it speaks to how we relate to everyone in these issues. Families. When you look at families, what are they? Families are the building block of our human society. They were ordained as an institution by God. And it's the very building block. And if a society does not protect the family, that society and that family, it will undermine its very existence. Because it's something that is foundational to our society. The family. When the family goes, everything else of value with it will also go. Without a proper foundation, and here's why we're looking at this today, the necessary foundation. Without a proper foundation of authority for those relationships, if we don't have that proper foundation of authority, people will be groping for meaningful, for purposeful, for fulfilling relationships, but they'll be doing it by whatever means they think is okay. That's when you have a fragmentation in those institutions, especially in the family. I think one of the worst situations, we got a lot of bad things going on in the world today, don't we? You look at all the news and it can become overwhelming. But I think one of the worst situations in our day is this. It's the progression of the death of the family as it has been known traditionally. We are seeing this taking place. There is a foundational crumbling that's taking place here. And when we look at this aspect, there have been a number of factors that contribute to that. There's not just one factor, but it's been slowly eroding away. It's like the water that erodes away the soil. It just gradually creates a deeper and deeper chasm. And so there's a number of factors that have contributed. I think some of those are, as we see up here, rampant unfaithfulness. In many marriages, there is unfaithfulness to your partner. When you make your vows and you make your commitments, till death do us part, that is a very strong commitment. Is marriage easy? No. You can't. If you say yes, then you must be a newlywed. You're still Twitter pated. No, marriage is hard. Because relationships are hard. So we need to be faithful in our marriage. And we're going to talk about that more in detail when we get into the idea of marriage. Sexual sin, that is rampant today. We are bombarded by pornographic materials everywhere, and it affects our minds, and it affects our relationship in our marriage if we allow that to become a very prominent and chronic part of our lives. It's the secret area in our life that only God knows about. But it can devastate a marriage. Homosexuality, we're going to look at that. We're going to look at what God designed a marriage to be. It's between a man and a woman. And the homosexuality and the pervasive acceptance of it is beginning to crush and to change the family dynamics. Abortion. There are a lot of women who have gone through that, and maybe you have gone through that in your own life. And if you have, then there is that part of you that perhaps goes through what they call postpartum syndrome. You've gone through that guilty part. You know what? There's forgiveness for that. God's forgiven you for that. But the idea of women's liberation, and I don't mean just that women need to be treated equally, because they do need to be treated equally, and they need to have that. But we're talking about radical feminism. That which attacks the very foundation of what we're talking about. The necessary foundation. So these are all contributing factors, and we're seeing the progressive death of the family. It's beginning to crumble. It's not a morbid thing that I'm trying to give, but I'm trying to say a very powerful truth. All that to say this: it's time for us to wake up, and we need to realize this. And that this is this part of this verse. We need to realize this. The Bible declares that only God's standard for marriage and family will produce meaning, blessedness, reward, and fulfillment. It's only God's standard. That foundation that we have from the Word of God that will help us to have meaningful relationships. And it's the only standard that can produce those results in our lives. But our society has rejected God's foundation. And there are major cracks that are now appearing and fragmenting all of the institutions that we're going to be talking about. And also, I want to say this. It's sad to say, you know, when you say, yeah, that's what's happening in the world, you know, but not in my life, not in the church. Oh, yes, it is. Confusion about God's standard and eroding away of that foundation in our Christian churches, in our Christian environment, has found its way even into our very own churches. Less than a generation ago, the statistics were that one in every 500 Christian marriages or couples in the church would get a divorce. One in every 500. That was the reality. Today, that figure is many, many times over, and it's becoming worse. And when you look at Christian marriages, some of them, they're characterized by what? Unfaithfulness? Yes, the people are living together, but it's characterized by unfaithfulness, disrespect, and a self-centeredness that's destructive in the marriage. Couples are still in the church, are still oftentimes living together, but what's the problem? They're not growing in their love for each other. What are they doing? They're coexisting. That is not what God intended. We want to have healthy marriages. We want to have healthy relationships. And if we're going to do that, we have to have a solid foundation. We have to have what? We have to have God's foundation. And that is submission in the fear of Christ. Underlying fear of Christ, because that's the emphasis we're going to look at first. Submission in the fear of Christ is a foundational truth. Paul is urging us here as believers to do what? We are to live in total contrast. You're not to live the way the world lives. You're to live in total contrast to the world's standards. That is totally radically different. So this verse, be subject to one another in the fear of Christ, is radically different than the world's standards. The world's standards are live for yourself. Demand your own rights. Do what you know is best. Get up there and be ahead of everybody else. These principles, though, are really understood. These principles that Paul is laying down here and that we're going to look at these next few weeks can only be understood and capable of being applied in the life of whom? In the real sense, a life of a believer. Someone who has accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Paul is addressing believers. Now, can the unredeemed benefit from the principles that we're going to talk about? Yes, they can. There are excellent principles for family, for marriage, for your children, and also for your work environment. They're great principles. But the problem is that they do not have a full power and potential of those principles because they're not born again. They do not have the Spirit of God with whom they're to be filled living in them. You and I do as believers. So we have the Holy Spirit of God living within us. And we have the power to be able to live this way. So the unredeemed can benefit to some degree, but it's not going to be fully understood and practiced by someone unless they're living in the fear of Christ. Now, what's that fear of Christ? Is it that cowering kind of fear that I'm really afraid? There are times, aren't there, where we should be somewhat apprehensive about how great God is, especially if we're not walking with Him. We should be a little afraid of Him then, isn't it? But that's not what the fear of God is here. That's not what the fear of Christ is talking about. The fear of Christ here, what is it? Well, it's this. It's that this is the truth. The key to submission or subjection is what? The fear of Christ is this. It's a very profound and a very reverent submission to whom? To Jesus Christ. Making Him first in everything in my life. He is to be the head. That is what it means to be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. I am allowing Jesus to be first in my life. That's the predominant thing. I revere Him. I hold Him in the highest regard. I look to Him for my life and the way in which I am to live. He must have first place in everything in my life and in yours. Our thoughts, our actions, and our attitudes. Everything about us needs to have Christ as the center. Now, people who don't know or even recognize the existence and the authority of God, they don't have this fear of God, they're not going to be motivated to accept God's standard of righteousness and of the principles and the foundations for marriage, for the family, or anything else. That's why we have a fragmentation of those institutions. They don't have a new nature. They don't have the inner spiritual resources to be able to follow those standards, even if they wanted to. So they're limited. But who does? We as believers. We as believers have the power by the Holy Spirit of God to live according to what God says we should be doing and living. We must either live in the fear of Christ then. We must live revering Him. We must adore Him and His example. And when we do that, and when we are, we will be seen, it will be seen in our relationships with other people. So the key then is to have doing this in the fear of Christ. What are we to be doing? Well, we are to be subject to one another. That is radically different than the world's ideologies and the world's way of thinking. The family and other relationships can only be what God has designed it to be when? When we as believers are what? When we are designed to be what He wants us to be. And here's what He wants us to be. He wants us to be conformed to the image of His Son. I cannot live these principles out in my life. You cannot do that unless we are conformed to the image of His Son. Unless we are becoming like Jesus. That's what it means. Are you being like Jesus? Well, let's take a look. Let's see. The word "be subject" is an interesting word there. Be subject is a word that is hupostasso. Hupostasso. The supreme model for our submission is Jesus Christ. Hupostasso is a military term. Did I miss that slide? Let's see here. There we are. Be subject. Hupostasso is a Greek word. It's not hippopotamus. When I first read that as a younger believer, I thought, I couldn't even pronounce it. But hupostasso, it's a Greek word. It's really a military term. It was a military term that meant to rank under someone else's authority. So whenever you see this word submit, and you're going to see it a lot, whenever you see be subject to, every place there you underline it, that's the word hupostasso, which means to arrange or to rank under. The main idea is what? That I am giving up my rights to another person. So when he says be subject to one another in the fear of Christ, he's saying you give up your rights for the sake of those other people. Wow, that is radical teaching. But that's foundational teaching. If our relationships in the family, with our children, and with our people that we work with are going to be the way they should be, that has to be foundational. Be subject to one another. Be hupostasso, be submitting. And the supreme model, as we saw there next, is that Jesus is our model for this submission. He is the one that gave us that. We're to be conformed to His image, so we look to Him. Matthew 28 says, He did not come into this world to be served, but to do what? To serve. And to give His life as a ransom for many. In a very powerful moment, in one of the latter parts of Jesus' ministry, a very powerful moment, we all remember this, Jesus stripped Himself down, used that cloth, and what did He do? He washed the disciples' feet. You see, the host was supposed to wash people's feet when they came into the house. No one had washed Jesus' feet. And so no one had washed anybody else's feet. So Jesus became a servant for their sake. He was giving them a picture. This is what I want you to do. He says, if I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you what? Also ought to wash one another's feet. In other words, He was saying, you need to be servants. You need to submit yourself to one another in the fear of Christ. Why is that? Jesus said, I've given you an example. That you should also do what? Just as I have done to you. He is the model for this foundational truth of being subject to one another. He exhibited that in His life. He did that. He showed that to the people. And He did that ultimately by going to the cross and dying in our place when we should have been hanging there. The scriptures are very clear. Following His example, here's what we should be doing. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind. With humility of mind, we are to what? Regard one another as, here's the key, more important than ourselves. That's hupostasso. Placing yourself under the authority or under the rank of someone else. Being willing to not put yourself up here, but being willing to put yourself under that other person. Thinking about them is more important. Now, does that mean you don't think about yourself and what your life is like? No, it doesn't mean that. But your order of priority is that I should be thinking of them rather than myself when it comes to major decisions and things in my life. I need to be thinking about them. Jesus is our example. God has given each of us principles for every human institution. Every human institution. And every human institution is to have a system of what? Of authority and submission. Authority and submission. We're going to see that in the marriage, in the proper way, not oftentimes as we think it. We're going to see that authority and submission in the father-mother-child relationship. We're going to see that authority and submission in the work environment. We're going to see that in all these areas. But this is the foundational truth that we have to have. These are all a part of a system of authority and submission. Those institutions that we're going to be talking about cannot and will not operate properly if every member decides that I'm going to do my own will and I'm going to have my own way without regard to these principles. If we do that as believers in our interpersonal relationships, if we are doing that, we are to be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. And we are to be controlled and motivated by the love of Jesus. We all are to do what? We're to have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who did what? He emptied himself. That's what it's all about. I've got to be willing to empty myself of my desires, my will, my wants, and my rights. I have to give up my rights in order to be able to be the person that's submissive. These are foundational truths. This is the necessary foundation for the things that we're going to be talking about in the next coming weeks. And that's the thing that we're looking at, why it's so important. We are all to have that attitude. He was in the form of God. He didn't regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself. Took upon himself the form of a bondservant, and he humbled himself by becoming obedient, even to the point of death. So, as we will see in the coming weeks, whether it involves our marriages, whether it involves our families, or our work environments, we are admonished to do what? These are the principles. This is the foundation. We are admonished to be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. That is the necessary foundation. As you think about this coming week, I want you to ask yourself this. Am I subject to other people in the fear of Christ? Or am I living my life for just myself? It's going to be very important in your marriage, because we're going to look at principles. If I don't understand this principle of being subject to one another in the fear of Christ, I'm not going to understand the proper role of my wife. I'm not going to understand the proper role of my husband. I'm not going to understand the role of submission when it comes to marriage and how that operates. Or the same thing with my children. Or the same thing with my work. I need to be willing to be submissive to other people in the fear of Christ. Ask God to open up your heart to areas that you're not being submissive in a proper biblical way. It's foundational to your life and to your relationships. Father, thank you so much for your word. And Father, we pray that we would take this need for this foundational truth in our hearts and our minds and apply it. Start applying it. Saying, Lord, where am I weak in not being what you want me to be subject to other people? Where am I exerting my own authority? Where am I not giving up my rights? Where am I demanding my own rights? And Lord, help me to be humble as you, Lord Jesus, were. Help me to empty myself that you might fill me with all the goodness and the power that you want, so that I can relate to people around me, my family, my wife, my kids, my employers, that I can relate to them in the proper way. Lord, open up our hearts to understand these truths, that we might be more like Christ and show his love to the world around us. It's great meaning of the world around us. In Jesus' name and for his glory, we pray. Amen.